Welcome to this third message in our short series of four messages on 1 Peter. For today, we're going to focus our attention on 1 Peter 2 and verse 2 as our key verse. I'd like to read that for you in three different translations, beginning with the New King James Version. As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. That's 1 Peter 2 and verse 2. The NIV puts it like this: like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. And then Kenneth West's expanded literal translation says, as newborn infants do, intensely yearn for the unadulterated spiritual milk in order that by it you may be nourished and make progress in salvation. So some of the key thoughts that we want to focus on today is the idea of that you may grow, that you may make progress, the idea of moving ahead. And so the focus is on growth, on spiritual growth. In Ephesians chapter 4, which is a good cross-reference for us in this context, Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 12, we read that the purpose of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, in other words, the people gifts that the Holy Spirit gives to the church, the purpose of that is for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect or a mature man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So again, the key words there, equipping, the idea of the work of ministry, edifying, building up, body of Christ, unity, harmony, knowledge of the Son of God, maturity, the fullness of Christ, no longer being children, moving beyond infantile thinking and behavior. But verse 15, speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up in all things into him who is the head. And that's key, that our spiritual Christian growth ultimately is into Christ. And so when we talk about spiritual growth, it's not just some ideas and principles and good tips to have for the Christian life, but rather the goal is growing up into the Lord Jesus, becoming like him. And as we are reminded in Romans chapter 8, the end of our destination as believers is that we might be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're going to have a look at growth, Christian spiritual growth, as it is touched on in this first epistle of Peter. Now, to help us with this and just to have a bit of fun with it, I'm going to take the word growth and use it as an acrostic, G-R-O-W-T-H. And so the first letters stand for the following points: go forward, and we want to go forward in relationships, there's the R, obedience, there's the O, the will of God, there's the W, truth, there's the T, and hope, and there's the H of growth. So we're not going to be able to cover all of that in today's message, but we hope to, between today's message and the following message, cover all the points under this acrostic for growth. We've already touched on the reality that in 1 Peter, he is encouraging us to grow. In other words, to move ahead, to go forward, to make progress, to not be stagnant, but that our Christian life should be developing. And I think there's an immediate challenge for us there. As you and I look back over the past week, month, or year, are we growing? Are we developing as Christians? Can we see areas of victory in our lives where we've made progress? Are there specific sins that the Lord has enabled us to bring under control? Are there positive developments in terms of the way we are thinking, speaking, living, interacting with others, serving the Lord? Are there developments? Is there progress in terms of our testimony, our understanding of the Word of God, and our application of the Word of God in Christ-likeness, in the spiritual quality of our lives? Have we been growing? Have we been developing? And perhaps we can think about that and pray about that, asking the Lord to give us grace and to help us to go forward, to go forward. Now, the first point I want to consider is to go forward in relationships. So there's the R of growth, to go forward in relationships. And we're going to cover a number of areas of relationships. Firstly, our relationship to the Lord himself, and that's going to be our major point in this message, to grow in our relationship to God. Secondly, our relationship to other believers. Thirdly, our relationship to authorities. Fourthly, our relationship within marriage. And then fifthly, our relationship to unbelievers. So a number of areas of relationships, some of the circles that make up our lives. So let's begin with growing in our relationship to God. And I think immediately we have to recognize that this is ongoing. None of us is perfect yet. None of us has arrived. None of us has everything together. Sometimes we make some good progress. Sometimes we fail. But I think we need to be focused on daily growing, growing devotionally in our walk with the Lord, being dedicated in our desire to grow with the Lord, and being determined to make it happen. To take the steps necessary. Growing in the Lord never just happens. It is always something that has to be intentional. So I want to go back and take us through kind of a quick overview of 1 Peter, looking at this theme of growing in our relationship to God. And we're going to start back in chapter 1 and verse 2. at the end of verse 2, he closes with the statement, "Grace to you and peace be multiplied." I think I'm reminded here of my ongoing need of grace and peace. I need grace because even though I've been saved by grace, I am weak, I am sinful. Sometimes I'm anxious, sometimes I'm fearful, sometimes I worry, sometimes I'm overwhelmed, sometimes I fail. I am constantly in need of grace. And I think we have to recognize that as we are saved by grace, we are also kept by grace, and we have to live the Christian life by grace. It's never just a matter of works or performance, is it? We are so totally dependent on the kindness of the Lord, on the mercy of the Lord, on the love of the Lord. I'm so thankful for the patience of God, that his patience with us doesn't run out. Even when we struggle and even when we are faithless, he abides faithful. So we desperately need the Lord's grace, and we desperately, on an ongoing basis, need peace. We experience inner turmoil. There's turmoil often within our family circles. There can be turmoil within the church. There's certainly much turmoil in society, in the world, in the workplace. And there's only one place of true peace, and that is with the Lord, who he himself is our peace. So there's an ongoing need for grace and peace, and we need to grow in our relationship to God in accessing his grace and accessing his peace. So that's the very first point I see. Then in chapter 1 and verse 3, Peter praises the Lord in recognition of what God has done, and in particular for his abundant mercy. not only do we need grace and peace, mercy, but we ought to be thanking and praising the Lord, recognizing his goodness and his patience with us, and acknowledging that. And I think there's a level of appreciation that we need to grow in day by day in terms of the abundant mercy of God. If it was not for the mercy of God, we would be consumed. We would perish. There would be no hope for us. So we need to grow in this awareness of it, and also our praise and acknowledgement of the goodness and mercy of God. Then in chapter 1 and verse 5, I see an acknowledgement that we are kept by the power of God through faith. Again, this is an area of our relationship to God where we need to walk in the power of God and not in the flesh. Need to be realistic in our estimation of our own weaknesses, and then dependent on the power, the strength, the sustaining power of God in our lives. So we need to ask for that. We need to go to abide in the Lord, to let his strength fill us. Paul says we need to be strengthened with his might in the inner man, because we can't stand under our own ability and strength. We need God's power. Again, an area of growth. Then in chapter 1 and verse 7, he talks about the genuineness of faith tested by fire, which then results in praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Again, a reminder that when our faith is truly in the Lord, and God is at work in us by his mercy and his power, that the outflow of that is pointing away from ourselves, giving all the credit to the Lord, and that our lives should be a testimony to the praise, honor, and glory of God. Again, we need to grow in that. We need to develop in the practicality of what that means to live in the genuineness of our faith. And then in chapter 1 and verse 8, there's a lovely statement there. It says, whom having not seen, that's referring back previous verse to our Lord Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. And I think this is tremendous. We love the Lord because he first loved us. God so loved us that he gave his son. God has shown amazing love. Paul prays for the believers in Ephesus that they might, in some small measure, increase in their understanding of the height and depth and length and breadth of the love of God, which surpasses understanding. It's so marvelous. It's so wonderful. We need to grow in terms of loving God. We haven't seen him with a physical eye, but we've experienced him. We've met him. We know him. We have his word. We see his hand at work all around us and within us. And so we love him. And we desire to love him more, surely. We want a loyal love to the Lord, a love that deepens and grows, a love that esteems him, a love that puts him first, a love that elevates him and speaks well of him. We love the Lord, and I want to grow in my love for the Lord. I don't want my love for God to be a weak and beggarly thing. I don't want it to be a second-rate love. I don't want it to be a love just in word, but in reality. Do you love the Lord? Also in verse 8, it says, though you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Believing. It's the idea of trust and of confidence. We love him, we have trust and confidence in him, and it says we rejoice with a joy inexpressible and full of glory. There's a joy in knowing the Lord Jesus and walking with him and developing a contentment, knowing that he is enough, he is sufficient. I am satisfied with the Lord Jesus. The joy of the Lord is our strength. So we check ourselves, like where is my heart? Where are my priorities? Truly, what is the reflection, the tone of my life? Is it love for the Lord? Is it believing, faith, trust and confidence in the Lord? Is my life one of joy in Christ and increasing joy and contentment in the Lord Jesus Christ? And then in chapter 1 and verse 13, he says, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is a terrific statement. Rest your hope fully upon his grace. It's the idea of fixing your hope purposefully, entirely on God's grace. Now, we've tasted of the Lord's grace, but we will know it in its fullness so much more at his coming. We understand a little bit now of the depths of our sin, but we don't really understand the darkness that we are capable of. We will one day know fully what could have been if it was not for the grace of God. We understand a little bit now of what the Lord Jesus has done for us, and we marvel that he has loved us and given himself for us. But there will come a day when we will understand so much more of what it took, the grace, the love, and the price that was paid by our Lord Jesus on our behalf. The grace that is going to be brought to us and revealed to us is stupendous. It's amazing. But he says, rest your hope fully upon that grace. Don't rest your hope. Don't fix your hope on yourself. Don't